right, let's remain standing this morning for reading of God's Word as we read together, please. You can be turning in your Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians, chapter number 5. I'm going to lay these out of my shirt pocket. I remember one time I was preaching with a bunch of stuff in my shirt pocket, and Brother Robert told me that every time I'd move, it would go clack, 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 clack. That clack was going out over the airways, and that don't sound too good, an old thing. But Ephesians chapter number 5 in the Word of God this morning, and we'll try to take a thought from there. I ask you to pray for me. I started working on this last night as far as putting the outline down that I wanted, and I'm telling you what, I woke up this morning and began to read it, and you wouldn't believe what I did to it. I just chopped it all two pieces with X's. It looks bad. I mean, you wouldn't make nothing out of it. I promise you on that. Amen. But anyhow, we're going to try to do the best that we can this morning with it. Ephesians chapter number 5. I want to read one verse of Scripture and then be preaching out of several verses, Lord being my helper, and just bring a couple of thoughts. And really, that'll be about it, all right? But Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 18, Paul the Apostle writing here, and he said, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Amen. Be not drunk with wine, amen, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful love. Thank you for Calvary and for the redemption that we find in the precious blood of the Son of God. And I pray you'd grant us some liberty and give us divine help today and bless your people that are here. Stir our hearts for thee, Lord, and draw us close to you. Whisper in our hearts those things, Lord, that we need to hear from our Heavenly Father only. I'd ask you, Lord, to save sinners and give grace to your people. Help the sick. Be with the pastor this morning. And as they travel back, give them traveling mercy on the highway. Help Miss Ruth and her mother as well. We thank you, Lord, for things you do. Save sinners and revive your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I read just a few minutes ago, and I want to say that kind of put this in. I didn't have it in my notes at all. But I read some of the notes that Mr. Schofield has at the beginning of this book. And I'm not going to say that he is not correct, but I'm going to say I don't think he's correct. When he made the statement that the book of Ephesians was probably the letter that was actually written to the Laodicean church. I don't very much believe that, and I'll tell you why. Because the Laodicean church is about as carnal as a church could possibly be. We know that from our studies in the churches, the seven churches. And contrary to the book of Laodicea, the book of the Ephesians is the book of the heavenlies. And it's the Joshua of the New Testament. As Joshua and Israel crossed the Jordan River and occupied Canaan land, and that spirit-filled life, if you please. By the way, crossing the Jordan is not a type of dying. It is now the old man dying, but it's not physical death, as a lot of people say. But they crossed that river and marched into Canaan and began to live a spirit-filled life. These believers here at Ephesus, in many ways in like manner also, lived a spirit-filled life. And you can tell by reading the book, it's not your carnal book, as say as 1 Corinthians was, that church at Corinth. very carnal church. But this church is a church of the heavenlies. It is a book that has a heavenly ring from beginning to end. And very obedient to the Lord. And a wonderful, wonderful book to study. Now, let me begin by, in the introduction of the book, by simply mentioning some of the things that I just looked at real quickly. For instance, in let's read verse number 1 of the chapter. He said, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And here's why I talk about how spiritual this church was. It was a spiritually minded church. He says in the very next statement, he said, "And walk in love." Now, I'll be saying a little bit more about that in a moment, so I don't want to say a whole lot right now. But he says, "And walk in love." Love is the highest virtue that we can possess. God loved the world and gave himself for it. There's no higher virtue than that of love. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of the three is charity, which is love.
Amen.
And according to Paul, these people were to walk in love. Then if you'll notice down in verse number 8, he says, "For ye are sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world, in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And what he's saying here is that you have the light of the Lord. And you are the light of the world. There was no question about it. This church was elevated in their spirituality to the point that Paul recognized quickly that they were a church that carried the torch of the light of the world with them. And Paul says here that we are to walk in that a light in the Lord as children of light. They were once in darkness, but now are they in light. And folks, if we were all lost and living in darkness, if we have been lifted out of that darkness into the glorious liberty of the children of God and walking in the light of the Word of God, it ought to be noticeable. A light set on a hill cannot be hid. In fact, I've learned that any light you turn on cannot be hid if it's dark enough outside. And the darker it is, the brighter that light's going to shine. So amen right there. And then he says in verse number 15, walk again, walk in love. Walk in as children of light. Then in verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly. Not as fools, redeeming, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, I think that word circumspectly seems to mean that we're supposed to walk cautiously and carefully and prudently. We're to be careful what we say and where we say it, how we live, and we're to be very careful. I'm going to tell you why. I found out in Vietnam, they set things like booby traps. And you step on one of them, you're subject to get a piece of bamboo shoot through you in most any place. That was sure to bring death, but hit in the right place. And in like manner, as Christians, I'm telling you, the devil has got some traps set for us that he can snare us if we're not careful. We better keep our eyes on the path that we're traveling. Because there are some snares out there. Therefore, Brother Paul tells this spiritually minded church, this spirit-filled church, this church that has been filled with the Holy Spirit, no longer drunken, not drunken on wine, whereas in excess, but they're filled with the Spirit. He said, "You walk cautiously. You be careful. Because you're up here does not mean that tomorrow you may not be down here." That's why I said what I did at the beginning and the message. And they may very well be. But now, I want us to notice something. In our text verse, notice what Brother Paul said. "And be not drunk with wine." where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That word "and," I'm not a grammar student. Some of you may be. But I do believe that word "and" is a conjunction. And it joins thoughts and phrases together. In other words, it keeps a train of thought running in the Word of God. And there's several other verses here that refer or use that little word "and." For even in chapter number 4, the preceding chapter, it says in verse number 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And that conjunction, we're not to grieve the Spirit of God. We're to let Him have free course in our life. You can grieve and quench the Spirit of God by cutting Him off in your life, by refusing to let Him have His way with you. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I guess I'm going to. Because if we are filled with the Spirit controls us. He leads us and controls us in our life. Now, he said, "And be ye not drunk with wine." So, "and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed in the day of redemption." And here's what we can do if we want to grieve the Spirit of God. He said, "Let all bitterness and wrath." Folks, we're not to be bitter against one another.
Amen.
We're not to have a wrathful spirit.
Amen.
We're not to have a hateful attitude. But we are to walk in love, even as He also loved us.
Amen.
And gave Himself for us.
Right.
And we are supposed to love one. Don't be bitter. Don't be angry or clamorous or evil speaking, but put away from you all malice. And here's another "and" in the very next verse, 4:32. "And," another conjunction, "and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Can you imagine that? That God's children are to be kind one to another. I'm telling you, we live in a generation when churches cannot get along at all with other churches. I'm telling it right. I know churches from here to there that are Baptist and Baptist in their doctrine. But friend, they cannot get along with one another at all. Over some of the little frivolous things, most frivolous things that I've ever seen in my entire life. How long should a man's beard be? I don't know. God don't tell me. I'm telling it right. I don't wear a beard. I personally don't like a beard. But I can't find anything in the Bible that tells me anything where it's wrong to wear a beard. Say amen right there. Some of the most frivolous things in the world we can get upset about. We're to be tender-hearted. Tender-hearted, not hard-hearted, but tender-hearted. And I'm going to, may I say this? If we'll be a little tender-hearted, we'll find the ability to absorb more of the Word of God into our heart than we will if we're hard-hearted.
Right.
You cannot be hard-hearted and ever absorb the Word of God into the spiritual man that will bless and help you in your Christian life.
Amen.
Amen and amen. And he said in chapter 5 and verse 2, he said, "And walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given Himself for us." May I say to you, those words are not there to fill up space on this in this Bible. Walk in love, even as Christ hath loved us. That's a tall order. That is not to be taken lightly. When we're given a command in the Bible that we're to love one another with the same love that Christ loved us, we better get busy at it and start trying to find out how we are to accomplish that and see that fulfilled in our life. It's not something that's easy to do. Because you're going to love people, you're going to have to overlook some of their little differences with you. If you love somebody, you may even have to overlook some little sin that they, or something that you believe is a sin that they don't believe. And most of the time, neither one of us is right. If it can be that way. And so we're to, he says, walk in love as Christ hath loved us. Those are strong words. Strong words. Now, I want us to notice in our text verse where Brother Paul, and I'll get right into the thought here in a minute, where Brother Paul, and by the way, I'm preaching here in just a little while on some products of the filling. Some things that being filled with the Spirit of God will produce in our life. And they're very simple. And by the way, I want to say this. Being filled with the Spirit is not some mystical thing. There are churches out there that would lead us to believe or try to make us believe that to be filled with the Spirit is some mystical thing that only a few can obtain to, and the evidence of having that filling is by us speaking in tongues. But I won't say, hey, I know the day and the hour that the Spirit of God filled me entirely with the Holy Spirit. And I did speak in tongues, but it was English. Are you listening? Now, I've got a glass of water there. That, it's got, let me just say it like this. To be filled with the Spirit does not necessarily, we have got all of the Holy Spirit we'll ever have. We'll not get what, He doesn't come into us in increments, a little here and a little there. He is a person, therefore He comes into our heart as a person. All of it. But the problem is He don't have all of us. I've got water in that glass. But that glass is not full. You couldn't deny the fact there's water there, but it's not full of water. We've got the Spirit, but not everyone is filled with the Spirit. Say amen right there. Hallelujah. Now, stay right with me. Stay right with me. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit. He gives the orders. Did I ask the question? How full are you and I? Are we full of the Spirit? Does He have all of us? Or have we set aside certain things for us? Lord, You can have me on this day, but not this day. Lord, You can have me to do this in my life, but I will not do this in my life. Lord, I will tithe with the church, but I will not give to missions. Lord, I'll give to missions, but I'm not going to give all of my tithe to the church. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Lord, I'm going to love certain people in the church, but I'm not going to love everybody in the church. I don't like old brother so-and-so because he's got bad breath. Are you listening to me? Amen. How full are you and I? I believe this conjunction in verse 18 joins the previous verses to these in the remainder of this chapter. And it's right here in this chapter that I'd like to spend just a little while and point out to you some things that being filled with the Spirit does for you and I. And you can't pull it out of context. I get tired of going to meetings or here or there, and a preacher get up and take a verse of Scripture and depart from it. It is time that we took a verse of Scripture and interpreted it in the context that it's written in. And you cannot lift this verse out of this text and separate it from grieving the Holy Spirit, or separate it from verse number 32, from being kind one to another. And you cannot separate it from walking in light and walking in love. It just won't work. You've got to interpret it in the context that it's written in.
Amen.
And by the way, preaching is interpretation, illustration. Amen. Now, notice with me. What are some things, and I down through here, that being filled with the Spirit provides? And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. May I say that the first thing that it does is provide us with a song. And I'm going to tell you something. Songs, well, some songs, some of them old bar songs. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Be not drunk with wine. A man is an idiot to drink liquor. It, hey, I don't approve of dope, but I'm telling you, I don't approve of liquor either. It's just as much a dope as marijuana or heroin or anything. It is a dope that has destroyed more lives and more homes in America than any one thing that I know. And there's not anybody since old Billy Sunday ever said a hoot about it. And I'm going to tell you why our politicians don't want to do anything about it. It's because they enjoy indulging in it. Come on. God help us. It provides us with a song. Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, be ye filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now notice something. He's not singing in the church. He's not talking about singing at some quartet convention in Nashville. He's not talking about singing in the choir or any place else where others can hear. But in the secret place in your heart, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And by the way, you're not singing to somebody else. Guess who you're singing to? You're singing to you. Singing and making melody in your heart. Make melody to you and sing to the Lord.
Amen.
In your heart. In your heart. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I like that.
Amen.
Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing in that secret place of your own heart. That's wonderful.
Amen.
And by the way, this thing sounds to me more like worship all the time. To be filled with the Spirit. I don't think that a man or a woman can worship God rightfully unless or until they are filled with the Spirit. We might go through the motion, but I'm telling you, it is when the Spirit of God fills us and overflows in us that we're able to worship the Lord. And by the way, you have more joy worshiping God than I have. I'm more joy in worshiping God down through the years in the privacy of my own home, in my own heart, than any place else that I know. You can worship publicly. But I'm going to tell you, there's just something about that private worship.
Amen.
Amen. Brother, I'll tell you, I've had some of the greatest times in my life alone with the Lord. And I'm not bragging, but there's been many a day that I've sat in my chair and just dropped my head kind of down in the locks of my shoulders and begin to meditate and think upon the Lord, how wonderful He's been to me. And the next thing you know, I've got a song. I might have even been troubled the night before. I may have had a problem the night before. There may have been something that took place that I didn't necessarily enjoy the day before. But now, the next morning, where I'm singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord, and He's allowed me to enter into that secret place and to pray and call on His name and worship with Him, it makes a big difference. It absolutely does. Sounding more like worship all the time. Holy fellowship with the Lord. Be not drunk with wine. Well, I bet you thought being drunk with wine, being filled with the Spirit, was probably some foreign thing that nobody could accomplish. You can accomplish it. But can I say this? You'll never be filled with the Spirit sitting back on your stool of do nothing, just waiting for God to let it happen. There's got to be time in prayer. There's got to be time in the Bible. There's got to be time in the house of God. And there's got to be time in worship, public and private. But I'll take the private any day of the week. Nobody but me and the Lord. By the way, isn't salvation a personal thing? When I got saved, He saved me.
Yes.
Salvation is a personal thing, friend.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Bless His wonderful name. Now, just you and the Lord. I don't even believe the devil was there. Do you really believe that the Lord and Satan can occupy the same heart? I don't for one minute.
Amen.
Brother, when the Lord comes in, the devil's got to go. You know who he has a problem getting out of your heart? You.
Right. Yes,
amen. That's who he's got the problem with. It's not the devil. The devil will flee. And I'm going to tell you, it's not so easy for you and I to move out. We like to take up our abode there and stay there.
Amen.
He's got to have His say. He wants it all. The Lord will not occupy a heart where the devil's at. Notice verse number 19. And making melody in your heart to the Lord. I can see harmony. I can see joy. I can see peace. Making melody. You know what melody is? You know, it's a certain rhythm. If I was to go over and sit down at that piano, y'all want to hear me play the piano this morning? I'll guarantee you there wouldn't be an ounce of harmony in it. It'd sound terrible. But there are some folks in here that can sit down over and make that thing talk. And then you bring up another musical instrument and start playing it, and you get them in the same tune, the same beat. They're making melody then.
Amen.
They're working together then. That's what I'm talking about this morning. You and the Lord working together, making melody in your heart to Him. Oh, hallelujah to God.
Yes.
What a wonderful Lord. Amen and amen. Now, He'll not only give us a song in the secret place, I believe we can have a song in the night. Psalm 77 and verse number 6 says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. It sounds to me like, by reading that the psalmist may have lost that song. Oh, it's a sad day when we lose our song, because you lose that song, you've lost your joy. I was come walking in the house yesterday, and Brother Doug and Lisa was at the house, and the kids. And I said, "Where is Joe Bob?" Folks been working. And Mrs. Hall said, "He's in the bathroom." I stopped for a minute, and I heard Joe Bob in there singing a spiritual song. And I thought, boy, that boy's got it down pat. He is really in the secret place. But he was saying it's a perfect example. Nobody could see him. But everybody could hear him. And I guarantee you, if you and I ever get filled with the Spirit of God and start singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, they may not be able to hear us. Or see us, rather, but they will be able to hear us in the life that we're living.
Right.
Amen. Amen. But there's a song in the night. It sounds to me like the old boy lost his song. It says, "Also I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." He started talking to himself. He communed with his own self. By the way, that's not always bad to talk to yourself. And it's not always bad to answer yourself. I've heard people say, "Nothing wrong with talking to yourself when you start answering yourself, when it gets bad." No, it's not bad. Not according to the Bible. He communed with his own heart. He talked to his heart, and his heart talked to him. You know why? He's trying to find out what on earth went wrong in his life. When was the last time we really sat down and tried to find out what has gone wrong in the field?
Amen.
What's wrong in our heart? What's wrong in our life? What is missing in our life?
Amen.
This old boy is who I believe to be David, Asaph. He is communing with his own heart. He started talking to himself. After he had communed with his heart, he began to look at it. Not someone else's heart, but his heart. Now, I want to say something right here. Don't get mad at me. But I'm telling you, it's awful easy in our generation to look at somebody else's heart. We know we're so spiritual that we know more about what's going on in somebody else's heart than what they know is going on themselves. God help us. I've got news for you. Don't know everything going on in my heart. You don't know what I'm thinking. And I don't know everything you're thinking. And by the way, sometimes I say things that I ain't even thinking. I'll stop and say, "Where'd that come from?" And so do you.
You're right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Right. Amen. Not somebody else's heart, but his own heart he was looking. The psalmist is a very troubled man. I don't have time to read verses 1 through 6, but he cried unto God with his voice, "Even unto God with my voice. And he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night. He ceased not and refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. My spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Then thou, behold, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I've considered the days of the old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night." He said, "I look back and call to remembrance when I had that song in the night and what it did for me." I'm going to tell you where that song come from. It come from being filled with the Spirit of God. And he said, "I can look back and call to remembrance that song in the night." Hey, he had lost it. It was gone. No song, no joy, no happiness.
Amen.
Amen. Now, there's a song I call a song of security. Psalm 32:7. I'm trying to hurry. Thou art my hiding place, he said. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. In this verse is a three-way blessing. He hideth us from sin and Satan. He preserves us from trouble. He compasses us about with songs of deliverance. Now, I understand that's the Lord saying to us, but it's still our song. Man, it's hard for me to get hold of that. He mentions me in trouble twice. I'm troubled. But yet the Lord has set a perimeter round about me. And he's saying songs of deliverance. And as long as he is saying those songs of deliverance, honey, I don't know when deliverance is coming, but it's coming. I've been saying a whole lot about Miss Hall. And I don't know when, but it's coming. I've said it in my heart that every time we eat, I specifically pray for her heart rate, rhythm, strength. I pray for her thyroid to function properly. I pray for her kidneys specifically every time I pray. And I'm telling you, God's been doing something.
Amen.
I told her, I said, baby, it's coming. The Lord's going to help us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's some trouble on her. There's some trouble out yonder. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's done set up His perimeter. And He's singing to me songs of deliverance. He's not singing songs of captivity. He's getting ready to set me free. And if the Son will set you free, whoop, you're free indeed, is what the Bible said.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Now stay right with me. Now, I want to read. I want to read that Psalm 32, I believe it is, where he said, Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I mean, I got the wrong chapter. I told you I was all boogered up last night. 32:7. Thank you, preacher. 32:7. Yeah. Now, I've already read that, so I'm not going to read it again. I've already mentioned things about it. But you know what I wrote down? I wrote a little extra. And I wrote down in boxcar letters in my notes how well I remember verse 8.
Amen.
I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I remember in Bible college. I don't remember what the situation was. I've been in so many. Had so many problems, been in so many situations that troubled me. But I was having some real problems in Bible college, trying to find the will of God or this or that. And I was praying one night after Miss Hall had gone to bed, and that verse of Scripture jumped out at me off that page when the Lord said, I will instruct thee. I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. That's the will of the Lord. Then he made this statement. I'm telling you how wonderful it is. If I could dance, I'd dance. He said, I will guide thee with mine eye. Let me look. Brother Robert, would you just move your eyes just a little bit? Not your head now. Not your brows. Your eyes. I can't see them. He said he'd guide us with his eyes.
Right.
You realize how close somebody's got to get to you? To guide you with their eye. I remember as a boy, I used to get kind of out of sorts, and my daddy would be sitting there in his chair, and he'd just do this. Just glance. When that eye glanced, I knew Pop said, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
It's on the way, and it wasn't help. It was a hot seat.
Yeah.
But the Lord said he'd guide us with his eye. In other words, folks, He'll get so close to us that we can see His very eyes. Ooh, have you ever been in close quarters with the Lord Himself? I'm telling you, it just makes, and I'm not a Pentecostal, I'm a Baptist, It makes them goosebumps run up and down my spine to know that the Lord's been close enough to me that with His very eyes, I could see His eyes and tell me the direction that He wanted me to travel in.
Man.
Oh, what a blessing. He said, I'll guide you with mine eyes. Now stay right with me. I won't be much longer, about an hour and a half. I'm about done. It provides us also. And I'll just mention these because my time's come and gone. It provides us also with a spirit of thankfulness. According to our text, I'm not taking it out of context, but according to our text in Ephesians, He said, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say something to you? There was a time in my life when I was still being, you could have a group prayer meeting, and I was still thanking God for what He had done, and most men were done, had already finished.
Right.
I'm talking about preachers.
Please
don't get mad at me, but I chided them one time down in Tennessee because of it. I said, hey, you guys quit praying out there in a prayer meeting. And I hadn't even stopped thanking God for what He had done yet. How many things can we think of to thank God for crying out loud?
Right. Amen.
And we're breathing His air. We're eating His food. We're drinking His water. He's given us homes. He's given us automobiles. I mean, He's given us children. He's given us a church.
Oh,
hey! He's given you a job. He's given you an income. Give you a wife. Give you grandchildren. How much more does God have to do for us before we'll realize that He deserves us to be thankful in our heart for what He's done?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I want to thank Him for saving me. I was that one little sheep that went astray. And He left the 99 and come out finding me. When He found me, He laid me across His shoulder. He carried me all the way back to the fold.
Amen.
He said there's more rejoicing over one sinner that repented over 99 that need no repentance. I thought about that prodigal son. That old boy got down in the hog pen and he said, finally come to himself and he said, man, how many of my father's hired servants have more to eat than I have? He said, I know what I'll do. He said, I'll just go back to the father. Didn't know what to expect when he got there. But I'm going to tell you what he found when he got there. The father ran and fell on his neck and begin to kiss him. Do you think that that old boy said, wait a minute now, stop the nonsense. Let's not get too emotional, Pop. He was lost and was found. For crying out loud, he was in a hog pen, lost and without God and without hope. But Jesus found him.
Amen.
Brought him to the Father's house. I believe when he... Father put his arms around his neck and began to kiss that bone in the neck. I believe that boy began to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. Thank you for bringing me out of the slop and the muck and the mire of the hog pen. Thank you for getting me out of sin, out of the beer joints and the taverns and the honky-tonk, the pool halls. I don't even like that name, pool hall. I am a hall. I ain't no pool hall. Amen.
Right.
That's wonderful. Amen. I want to thank Him for saving me. I want to thank Him for shaping me, conforming me into the image of the Lord Jesus, like the potter and the clay. We're His. Let Him shape us and mold us and make us. We ought to be thankful for that. Have you ever just sat down and considered where you might be today if you hadn't got saved?
Amen.
Yeah. That song we play in there says, oh, remind me. Remind me, dear Lord. Remind me of where you brought me from and what I am today. I'm going to tell you, if you just remember where He brought you from and where you are today, you'll see there's a mighty long distance between you and it.
Amen.
We're not what we ought to be, but we're not what we're going to be.
Amen.
We're not what we used to be.
Amen.
And you, I believe he's talking to you and you who were dead in trespasses and sins.
Amen.
You were dead. But now we're alive.
Amen.
And you know, hey, from darkness to light, from death to life.
Amen.
I was dead, but now I'm alive.
Yes, sir.
And alive forevermore. And we can't even thank God for saving us and bringing us out of sin. God help us. I want to thank Him for not only for saving me and shaping me. I'm thankful that He sought me.
Amen.
Somebody said, you're backwards. I intended to be that way. What about that old maniac? Lord got on that boat and went across the sea, went ashore there in Gadara, saved one maniac, went back, got in his boat and left. I wonder what that old boy, when he started thanking Jesus, he wanted to go with him. Lord wouldn't let him. The next day, I wouldn't be at all surprised he didn't get up and start telling people, you know what the Lord done for me? The Lord saved me yesterday. Now I want to thank Him so much for it. I could still be out there in the tombs cutting myself with knives. I could still be out there screaming and hollering. Acting, I could tell you some things I won't. But I'm not there anymore.
Amen.
Amen to God. Thanks to Calvary.
Amen.
I don't live there anymore.
Amen.
Oh, yesterday I went back to the place where I used to live. That little old boy of mine, just a little towhead, ran and hid behind the door. I said, Benny, don't worry, boy. You've got a brand new daddy. I don't live in this place anymore.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It provides us with a submissive spirit. Verse 31, we're to be submissive one to another and to fear God. That can only be accomplished and fulfilled by us esteeming each other more highly than ourselves.
Yes.
Hear what it said? For us to esteem one another more high. Look at people in light of being better than we are. I don't have to be the best preacher, and I'm not. You know that more better than I do. It ain't getting any better either. And I never did have to be the best preacher. But I know some guys that they show up at a meeting, they wouldn't take second base to nobody. I mean, second field. If they can't be top dog, they ain't going to be no dog at all, friend. Esteem other more highly than ourselves. Amen and amen. Then he said, husbands, love your wives. Wives, a submissive spirit. Wives, to your own husbands, and as unto the Lord. And then, by the way, this does not mean for that woman to be a doormat. He's not there for you to wipe your feet on, sir. If you love her, you won't have any problem leading her. And I'm going to show you something in just a minute. One little old main thought, and I'll be done. Wives, submit to the husband as unto the Lord. As the church is to the Lord, even so the wife submits herself to the husband. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ's great purpose for loving the church. Husbands, in verse 25, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Yeah.
What was his purpose? What did he mean? Why did he love the church and give himself for it? He answers it in the next two verses. That he might sanctify it, sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now I could go on and read the rest of that, but I want you to listen very carefully. The Lord loved us and gave himself for us, the church, that is, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water of the Word of God, and that he might present it to himself a holy church without spot and without blemish. Sir, if you're filled with the Spirit and you love your wife the way you should, she won't have any problem following you. And you know what your responsibility is? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. What's he doing to the church? He's sanctifying the church and cleansing the church with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. And he does that for this reason. Stay with me. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Brother, I never got a hold of all that, and I ain't got a hold of all of it yet. But I got a hold of part of it this morning. Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. You and I are to love our wives and give ourselves for our wives. And somebody said, for what reason? Because as Christ is one with the church, and I'm not reading between the lines, we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. But in like manner, for this reason, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be what? One flesh. Now, it's a great mystery, and I don't understand it, but I'm telling you that a man and his wife are one. That's why I don't believe in divorce. They are one. What about that? You'll catch that by slow freight after a while. One flesh. Well, we see two, but the Lord sees one. One flesh. And I'm going to tell you what, we'll never understand that till we get, till we're full of the Spirit of God. That is one of the blessings of being Spirit-filled. And it's wonderful. If you'll just stop and think for just a minute. They twain shall be one flesh. And he, there's no question about it. Read that chapter. He likens the church and Christ to the husband and the wife. Don't pull it out of context and make it say something it don't say. This thing about marriage is a serious thing, friend. What a God we have. Somebody asked me one time, said, preacher, you think we'll know our wives when we get to heaven? Well, I know we'll be as angels of heaven. I understand that. But I'd hate to think I'd hate to think that I will know less when I get to heaven than I do now. I know her now, don't I? I think I'll know her there. I think I'll know you there. I'm just that way. You know why I do? The church. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, the church. We'll be there with him. And I'd hate to think I'd get up there and say, "Now, Lord, who is that fellow over there?" And he'd say, "You mean you don't remember Douglas?" Oh, how can I forget him? I could have a worse one. I promise you. Products of the filling of the Spirit of God. There's a few of them. I've been slow, but I am slow. I can't change what I am now. Too late, too sickly, and no, I don't even care. I just do what I can do by the grace of God. Let's stand together. I didn't preach but an hour. I am weak. I won't pray, won't have an invitation hymn. I wonder how many husbands and wives might just come down here to an old fashioned altar this morning. Say, "Lord, bless our marriage, bless our home, bless our family. How many might just come down here, pray and ask God to fill you with the Spirit of God? Help you to be what God wants you to be in that way. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the morning hour, time together. Thank you for the truth of this text. And Lord, I know I didn't do it justly, but I did the best I could. And I pray you bless your people in the house of God. We are flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. We're members together of Christ. How wonderful. Save a sinner this morning. Strengthen your people. Revive us again. Help us. Give us grace. Forgive us. Strengthen us. And bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we singing, Brother Doug?
155.
While these are praying, others may want to come this morning. 155.